Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, and welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
Dune Dad. Trade deadline has come and gone, dude.
Did anything happen?
And I must say, this trade deadline, fun must be always.
Oh, yeah, okay. Gambling must be always.
Fun must be always.
Yeah.
That's... In Vegas, literally, gambling. Now, Tomáš Hertl is... Gonna get a marker like Evander Kane at all the casinos. And no, dude, no. Dude,
I did not
some
see
wild
that
business.
One coming.
Mike Greer lighting the transaction wire on fire. Some moves that I think were expected, some moves that were pretty surprising. He is reshaping this roster, made a brutally difficult decision.
Yes.
To trade the Sharks' most popular player, right. Tomáš Hertl, the face of the franchise, gone just like that. And we move onward, dude. Where shall we start? Should we start with that?
We have to start with that. That's a trade I did not see coming. I think a lot of people thought that not only was Hertl not movable because he was the face of the franchise and because... You need to have some bright spots, even on a very bad team, and the Sharks are, make no mistake, very bad. But also, here's a guy that was recently out for another knee issue, who's had two very serious knee injuries in his past, and has a very long-term contract with a lot of money. An 8x8 deal, as they say. And with a no-movement clause as part of it, and he gets traded, and... The Sharks retain 17% of that deal, which is $1.5 million, I think, roughly. And so this is a shocker sort of on two levels. A contract I didn't think that any team would be willing to take, and a player I didn't think the Sharks would be willing to trade or would be that interested in trading.
This move had to happen, dude. I mean, and I think as painful it is, because the Sharks are just straight painful to watch, one, because of their lack of talent, and two, as we've said, they're just boring, right? Like, mm-hmm. The team is boring, and now you have maybe the biggest personality that we can sort of recognize now gone. That smile is gone, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
All the banners, all the merchandise, all of it, you know, it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt this franchise on a lot of levels. But also, you have now unblocked... several young players for when it's their time to have the opportunity to play meaningful minutes. You have freed up a ton of future salary commitments, and you have acquired future assets, which I think is the fact that they were able to get Vegas's number one prospect and a first round pick in return for Tomáš Hertl, who is, when healthy, a very good hockey player.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Very good hockey player. Not a Hall of Fame level hockey player, right?
No.
But a very good hockey player who is going to be very good on that team. Vegas is ready to win now. The Sharks are nowhere close. So for them to add their number one prospect, a young center in David Edstrom, and a 2025 first round pick, like, that's a win. I think it's a win. I kind of can't believe that he was able to get that. And it hurts, dude. But I applaud Mike Greer for having the straight up stones to do it.
That's right. I completely agree. And it's funny. There was a funny quote that I forwarded to you. And I think it was originally forwarded to me. And someone said, Mike Greer is doing all the stuff that the Sharks fans on Reddit wanted Doug Wilson to do, and then someone responded and says, and now they're all mad at him for doing it.
Right. This is never easy, dude. I mean, it's never easy, especially when you have, you know, it's one thing to trade Kaapo Kähkönen,
yeah,
and everyone's like, whatever, you know,
yeah,
but to trade Tomáš Hertl,
Radim Šimek, you know.
Yeah, I mean, like, it hurts when you trade Brent Burns.
Yeah.
So, like, when you trade Erik Karlsson, I don't know that people may have, like, sort of shed a tear because he felt obligated to. Oh man, this is the Norris Trophy word, but he never really was a Shark, right? Like he it's not as the same as like when you traded Brent Burns or you let Joe Thornton walk away, right?
Right, I mean, right. Like,
or you didn't re-sign Joe Pavelski, which is incredibly painful.
Yeah.
You know, that now you're watching him have a great career in another uniform, right? And mm-hmm. you go, God, that's just that. I'm happy for him. It hurts, right?
Yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I mean, Eric Carlson's heyday wasn't as a Shark.
No.
Was he a good player? Of course, he won the Norris Trophy. But like, if we look over the arc of Eric Carlson's career 5 years from now after he's retired, we're not going to say, yeah, those salad days, San yeah, Jose, baby. Sure. You
know? And we could talk about the Carlson curse in yeah. another episode as Pittsburgh has squarely gone in the toilet
yeah.
ever since acquiring him. But another time, another topic. Although we don't want it to be too bad because that pick this year is top 10 protected. So,
oh.
I mean, it could end up being like if Pittsburgh is not good enough to make the playoffs, like the Sharks could end up with the number one or number two pick and like the number 12 pick.
Yeah.
Like, you yeah. know, and you go, whoa, like that's like pretty darn good return, right? So hopefully Pittsburgh won't get too bad. Edstrom is, you know, I mean, he was like the 31st pick last year or the 32nd pick last year.
Right.
So, you know, but still a first round pick. I think he played for World Juniors, playing in the Swedish Elite League. You know what? And everything that I've read is that people project him to be a top six forward.
That's awesome.
Like, great.
Those are the guys that we need.
You know, like, that's great. Like, you know, when you add him to Musty and Will Smith, who's I think the leading scorer in all of college hockey,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And Bystad and others, like, yes, the Sharks were the number three team on The Athletic for prospect pool before they traded for Edstrom and before they acquired the kid from Tampa Bay,
yeah.
who was their number three prospect.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
what are they now?
Right.
I mean, like, are they the top farm team because they just acquired two other teams, top three picks? Granted, two of the worst farm teams around, but
right.
still,
right.
like, you've acquired quality players. These are tough decisions, dude. I mean, the toughest are probably over, right? Because you got to figure right now with Logan Couture first, the Sharks don't have any salary retention spots left for a while.
Right.
So I don't think Couture's going anywhere.
Yeah, because right? they have to move his entire contract.
They have to move his entire contract. And the fact that he also cannot stay healthy.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think he's going anywhere.
Right. right. This is another opportunity to say the word pubic, which we said a lot in the last episode.
His groin has been pulled all the way out this year. Like, he's done, right? So, you know, those type of really tough decisions, like those iconic franchise type players parting with them. I think we just had the last one. I think we just had the last, like,
yeah,
gut punch, right?
Right. And so we're looking at a team that has literally no bright spots on it at the moment.
Yeah, no, which is I don't a hard know about pill. That, dude. I mean, I don't know about that.
Although Bordalo had a really nice goal
yeah,
last night.
I mean, I don't know if there's no bright spots. I think that there's just not any identity, which I think is what the part that's hard, right? You say Zetterlund has outperformed expectations,
yeah.
right? He's truly identified as a person who they need to keep, like, as a top nine player.
Mm.
On a good team, he's not a top six player, but I like him, and he's going to have 20 goals,
yeah.
right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I mean, like, that is great, right? And you see, you know, you want to try to see future growth from, like, they need to figure out, like, which... Who is Philip Zadina? Like, which guy is this here?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what's the story? But anyways, Hurdle, best of luck.
It sucks to see him go. It sucks even more to see him on Vegas.
Yeah, dude.
I mean, was honestly pretty surprised. It used to be you didn't make these kinds of trades in the division.
Yeah,
maybe
we've seen
these...
a lot of it this year. We've seen Calgary and Vancouver make yeah. two swaps like this.
Yeah.
I think if you can get the assets that you want back, and if you're nowhere close to being, it's not like you're like on their heels and you're going to play them in the wild card. Like,
right.
Vegas is going to bottom out at some point. This is all going to catch up with them.
Oh, yeah. They're all right? in, you know.
Then they're obviously. All in and they should be.
yeah.
But when the Sharks are on the up, Vegas is going to be on the middle. And, you know, we will get the best of them eventually. But it wasn't going to be next year.
No.
So go ahead, you know, and I wish him well. We will root for him as much as we possibly can. Him being on Vegas, dude. And again, just good on Greer for having the stones to make the move.
Yeah, that is a, you know, it's fun to read Reddit because you do get all the different perspectives and stuff, some of which I think are just completely indefensible, but it does give you exposure to some of that stuff. You know, Greer's had to basically clean this mess up. And so far, I haven't really seen a misstep, to be honest. I can't say I've seen one. I mean, I know that we talked about one particular trade, which we'll get to here in a second. But, you know, if we talk about the two big deals that were sort of the identifying deals of last year, the two biggest trades, the Meyer trade and the Carlson trade, both of those teams would want those trades back. If they could take them back today, they would take them back, I think. The Devils would take it back, and the Penguins would take it back.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sharks got the better end of both of those deals, which at the time seemed like the Sharks had to get bent over in order to get rid of these contracts that they no longer wanted, or a player that they had no intention of signing, and they just sort of had to take whatever was coming.
Yeah.
And it ended up working out in both cases. Not that we knew that was going to happen, but
sure.
But I think
there's a little bit of luck involved in both of those cases, sure. Especially with Meyer. But I mean, the Devils falling off a cliff, I don't think anybody saw that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But let's talk about the Duclair deal next, because I do think that also was a shrewd bit of business here for a player that the Sharks most definitely, in the end, had no intention of keeping. You know, he finally started to produce near the end. This is nothing against Duclair. Seems like a great dude, right? And he'll be unrestricted, and maybe he'll come back, right? but also, like, if you could get a third round pick from Tampa and their number three prospect in Jack Thompson for 2 months of Duclair,
yeah,
dude. Like, I mean, like, that's pretty good. Like, I kind of can't believe that they were able to squeeze that price out of Tampa on this.
It's certainly, my first reaction to that is they know something about Jack Thompson that we don't know. Or this sort of number three prospect thing is a little bit wobbly. And, you know, one number three could be number eight. You know, you never know. But yeah, a prospect, not just a minor league journeyman.
Sure, dude. Well, what I can tell you is that Jack Thompson played 46 games this year for the Syracuse Crunch, and he has 32 points. So, I mean, for a defenseman, like, he instantly becomes, like, the Sharks' best offensive defenseman at the Barracuda,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, this is a guy who's played under 20 World Juniors for Canada. You know, it's not a shot in the dark. And I think, yeah, maybe they weren't super high on him, but if you're the Sharks and you are still light on D prospects, especially offensive minded ones, you take the lottery ticket and you go for it.
Oh,
right?
I'm not trying to shoot this deal down. I'm just saying this may not be just like woo home run, we fleece Tampa Bay, but you know, certainly Anthony Duclair was not a player that I think Mike Greer had long term plans for, and it was a situation where he's a good guy, he's a good player. Let's see if we can get him to a place where they really need a guy like that and see if they can put him maybe in a more supportive environment than Duclair was here. And maybe he, you know, since there's another, you know, lots of other good players around him, he will have more looks to create his own scoring chances because the teams won't be keying in on him. And, you know, good luck. Good luck. And this is exactly what the Sharks need to do. We talked about last episode, the Sharks need to, you know, they need to get draft picks. They need to take as many swings at getting good young players because this is not a team that's going to be good in the next year or two. They need to get players that's going to make them better 3 years from now.
Right. And this could be, they'll get two shots at it, right? They'll get the draft pick and they will get, you know, a good look at Jack Thompson here, right?
Yeah.
The other deal that I think maybe I was very surprised by was Nikita Okhotchuk going to the Calgary Flames for a fifth round pick in 2024. So Okhotchuk was part of the return for Timo Meier. He started out with the Sharks at the beginning of the year. I think we both kind of remarked that we kind of liked him. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
And clearly the Sharks didn't. And he's gone. I mean, he's gone after a year mm-hmm. of being as part of this system. They were going to have to make a decision about tendering him as an RFA or signing him to another contract. I can't imagine that he would have been in line for any sort of meaningful
offer sheet
offer yeah. or like anything. Like, you know, this is a guy who's played 58 NHL games. I just don't think, you know, they were going to have to, you know, you're looking at like, I don't know, like what would you have to sign this guy to? 2 years, $2 million? Like, I mean, like he's
right.
He's not, he hasn't earned any sort of real contract. I mean, they would have, they wanted the spot on the roster over having Okolchak in the system.
Yes.
So
clearly,
you know, and I don't know the rules well enough to know, like, dude, I mean, I guess if they had signed him, they would have, maybe he would have not been waiver eligible anymore and he would have had to be on the big club, and they just weren't willing to commit to that. So yeah. they took what they could get, which was a fifth round pick, which is, I don't know. I was surprised. I'm surprised that he didn't last that long.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the most surprising trade of the day, I'd say.
Yeah.
No. The hurdle was more surprising. Yeah.
But I think, I guess what I would say is, like, hurdle was on my radar as something that I think was going to happen at some point. This, I never thought of this as him as a player that was someone who wasn't going to be here.
Right.
Because I guess I sort of thought he was part of the future.
It's like, and what's a fifth round pick? You know, it's not that big
yeah,
of a deal.
Yeah, they just didn't want him anymore.
Yeah, I think that's the case. Or they're, you know, they're coming up and they got, you know, the other thing is that there's a contract limit. You got a lot of picks coming up. That means those play, you can only have 50 contracts at any of the levels, and junior players are exempt. And, you know, maybe they're doing some calculations behind the scenes and saying, we want this guy as part of the 50 and this guy's part of the 50.
Well, they must be.
There's got to be some other, like business and logistics or cap type, CBA type discussion that is relevant here.
And I haven't heard any like breakdown of, no one's talking about this move really.
No, no one is.
Which I guess maybe we're the only ones. Radim Šimek and a seventh for Klim Kostin. I didn't realize until I watched the game last night that Kostin is like massive. He's like 6'4", 220.
Yeah.
Like big dude. Also, I guess I didn't realize this is his fourth stop. He played in Edmonton. He played in the playoffs for Edmonton. He was in St. Louis. You know, this is a veteran NHL fourth line player that will be around next year also. You know, I guess for the Sharks, they took the opportunity to get a guy who they thought was probably at a good price that they didn't mind having on the team, right? So, okay. I mean, like, whatever. I think the thing that I thought was weird, dude, and I texted you, I said, you know, they just made Šimek the captain.
I know.
Of the Barracuda.
Right.
This is also probably for a different episode. So I feel like
Something's weird
going on down there.
Yep.
I feel, and I would love to get someone else's take on this, because maybe it's not weird, but the fact that team is bad and has been bad, like bad.
Forever.
For a while.
Yeah.
And they can't seem to keep any sort of consistency in terms of veteran AHL presence, right?
Yeah.
What's the deal?
What's
like,
that
I mean,
about?
Like, what's going on with that?
Is that just like you have a lot of churn in the minor leagues and this is how it goes? Or is there something sort of uniquely sour about it?
Because there have been, you know, a couple of players that have actively asked to leave, right? Like, or not resigned.
I'd rather work at Home Depot.
Dude, they'd rather work at Osh, which is, that's that bad because it doesn't exist.
That's right. Sears. Took a job at Kmart.
So anyways, that one's weird, but Klim Kostin, the massive Klim Kostin. And then two new goalies in the Shark system.
Yeah.
Welcome home, Devin Cooley from Gilroy, dude.
Nice.
So Devin Cooley coming to San Jose. For a seventh round pick. Devin Cooley has zero NHL games, but he was a junior Shark, dude. I mean, he played for the junior Sharks for several years and has been a part of the Buffalo Sabres system. He backed up Crona at University of Denver, and the irony was that he backed him up again last night. So, I mean, for the Sharks, who have no significant goalie depth of any kind at the minor league level or at the NHL level, this was just a free roll, right? On Devin Cooley, they use a seventh rounder to acquire him, and then the Sharks trade Kaapo Kähkönen for Vitek Vanacek and a seventh round pick. So they basically flip that pick, or the equivalent of, for Devin Cooley. So they get Cooley and Vanacek for Kähkönen. Vanacek signed for next season.
Okay. Clearly they didn't think, you know, Kähkönen was the answer, right? So Blackwood was taking the job, and the Sharks are going to, like, let's roll with Crona, let's roll with whoever, because we don't have a clear answer to this question yet. And if we can get another guy that maybe we like, obviously every Devils trade will be seen as someone that Mike Greer knows, and maybe Mike Greer does know this player.
Right. Well, he does. I mean, you know, I think he was... Well, I mean, he wasn't working for the Devils when they signed him, right? But he might have been part of the discussions around potentially bringing him in. I mean, Vanacek has 195 NHL goals. I mean, games. He had a 2.45 goals allowed last year in 52 games and a 9.11 save percentage for the New Jersey Devils, and was part of their goaltending meltdown in the playoffs, right?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, he had terrible stats in the playoffs, 4.63 and 8.25 save percentage.
Ooh.
So it was not good. And then this year, not great in 32 games, 3.18, 8.90 save percentage. So, I mean, the Devils have goaltending problems, and the Sharks have now taken on one of their goaltending problems in an attempt to rehab. It's worked with Blackwood. So maybe it will work with Vanacek, and I guess if you're the Sharks, if it does, you can trade him again at the deadline, right? Yeah. So
just keep it rolling.
Why not? I guess, it seems like a low risk, you know, position, and you're also not putting yourself in a situation where you have to extend a multi-year deal to a goalie free agent in the off season when you're really not trying to be good anyways.
Nope. We just need a guy.
They have it, dude.
There it is, dude. Despite all of this, despite, as you said, Couture not being able to suit up for the Sharks for the remainder of the year, Hurdle out, the Blackhawks still the worst team.
Dude, I swear to God. I mean, if they play just well enough to miss out, And we know, the Ducks know this from last year.
Dude,
you can be the worst team and not get the pick, right?
I'm telling you right now, I'm not saying it's rigged, but I'm not saying it's not rigged. Chicago is getting the number one pick.
No, dude. Well,
they're getting it.
Okay, but I got to tell you, if yeah, you're right.
I know.
But if you're the NHL, but I think San Jose is an important market to you.
They don't care about San Jose,
dude. How dare you? Like, if you have the opportunity to get hometown junior Shark on the Sharks and you pair him with Devin Cooley. Dude, I mean, like, what?
That's the face of the franchise for years to come.
No, it is. I mean, it would just be, it's going to be gut-wrenching, because I don't think I ever really expected that we would get Bedard.
Yeah.
But this one I want.
This one, yeah, you can taste it a little bit.
I really do want, and I'm going to be really sad.
When it doesn't happen.
If it doesn't work out. But dude, it's, can they be, the Sharks have been pretty bad. I mean, they've been 1-7-2. They've been worse than the Blackhawks recently. Blackhawks have gotten points in 4 out of 10 games. The Sharks have gotten points in 3 out of 10 games. So Blackhawks have 6 points in their last 10 games. The Sharks have 3, right? So they're trying. The Sharks also have a minus 111 goal differential, and the Blackhawks have a minus 98.
Yeah.
So I do believe the Sharks will be the worst team. I think Bedard is too good and isn't interested in being like losing games. I think he's just good enough to win more games than the Sharks will because he is that good.
That's what I was hoping for, but it hasn't worked out this way so far.
Yeah, well, dude, I just give it time. Okay. Let it simmer.
Let it cook a little.
Dude, yeah.
Dude, any other trades that we want to talk about? Certainly there was a big trade involving the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yeah. I mean, I think if I'm looking at teams that I feel like this year's Stanley Cup playoffs is going to be fantastic because I don't think there's a clear front runner.
There are no clear front runners.
But I think like there are 7 or 8 teams that I could say, yeah, I could make a case for them winning the Stanley Cup.
For sure.
Like, yeah. I think Florida, again, has risen to the top somehow. They are the best team in hockey. They acquire Tarasenko, right? Like, I think...
Who is not the big...
But they didn't
big
need,
goal scorer that he once was. Let's
but,
be clear.
But he's a good depth player, yeah. And I think that was a good acquisition for them, right? I mean, Boston did not add big pieces, but even they're sort of adding like a very like, you know, they had Pat Maroon, who's just such a Boston Bruins type, like
exactly
turd basket, right? The Maple Leafs, I don't know what the hell they're doing, dude. Like, I mean, like that is no bueno, but they made some weird moves. I don't trust them. I never think that they're ever gonna cross the finish line. The Rangers adding Wenberg. They're a good team.
They're good.
You know, Hurricanes might be the biggest winners, but getting Gunsel and Kuznetsov, which is a super under the radar buy low situation.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, if I had to, I still think they could be the, you know, the odds on favorite. The Flyers, what the heck are they doing in the top three of the playoffs? There's no way they're going to hang on there. I just can't see that.
No.
I mean, Dallas adds Tanev before the break.
Yeah.
They're super good. The Avs are all in. They made a bunch of moves. They are loaded, dude. As
the
long
three
as,
teams in the Central, top three teams in the Central, all have exactly 40 wins. Yeah, that is so tight.
The Jets adding Toffoli. They added Monahan a couple weeks ago. They have the best goalie probably in hockey, right? So you've got that. The Canucks are out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Elite.
I didn't
right?
see that coming.
The Oilers, no trust in them. But it's good when they're fun. And the Kings, who I don't even know what to make of them, right? Like
I think have no idea.
They're kind of an easy out at this point at the end. The Predators are so hot. 10 points, no win. Sorry. They have not lost in 10 straight.
Yep.
You know? So awesome. And the Golden Knights are lurking as that lowest wild card, which, you know, you imagine you're the Vancouver Canucks and then you get the Golden Knights
in
the first round.
That's the worst draw.
It'd be the worst draw possible. So anyways, it's exciting. I think it will be a fun Vegas Cup where this is, I mean, we're dead even right now, right? So it really mm-hmm. does matter. This is the money on the line yep. right now.
This
money on
it.
The line. And we might actually go.
I should go to Vegas.
It's been 4 years.
I know.
Well, dude.
Changes in Sharks land. This is a different team. This is a team, I think someone showed a picture with the Sharks, I think, who had the... It might have been when they won the Western Conference and were going to the Cup. And I think the crazy thing is the only player in that picture who's still with the Sharks is Kevin LeBanc.
Yeah. I mean, you want to talk about the guys who did not move, right?
Clearly,
no market for Kevin LeBanc,
yeah.
right? No market for Mike Hoffman, right? That was a... And I guess I don't know why there would be. Like, who would want either of those players at that price, right? You know, you're not going to retain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can get the same thing for cheaper. So, those guys still around. I'm trying to think of who else. Barabanov probably was the most shocking one that didn't move, although he's not had a good year. So, you know, and if the Sharks weren't willing to retain, and they'd sort of set a price on it, then it didn't happen.
And these aren't like the... As much as we don't like Kevin LeBanc's current contract, this isn't a break the bank kind of situation. This isn't an 8x8 deal, right?
No,
so
I mean,
this isn't the deal. It's not good, but it's not something that you're like, oh man, this is really putting us in a bind cap wise.
But what team is like, yeah, I mean, let's bring him in.
Right.
You know, because the Sharks have completely depreciated the asset completely. Mm-hmm. Like, and if they're saying, well, he's not good enough to play for us, and we're the worst, second worst team in the NHL, but how about a third?
Yeah, right. You and know? Teams are like, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
I think the thing I'm curious about is in the offseason is, does anybody sign him, or is he his NHL career over? You know?
It's a fair question. He's going to have to, I think he's going to have to play his way onto a team. I don't think a team's just going to take him and put him on the roster at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
it might be like a tryout deal or something. Yeah,
I don't know. I'm rooting for him. I've still never quite understood, like, what. And I'd love to hear the truth about why.
Yeah, what's the malfunction?
Like, why has he, like, just fallen completely off the map? You know,
who knows?
Who knows?
All right, dude. Well, big changes to this team, but I think we know very clearly which direction Mike Greer is trying to point this ship.
And it's down.
It's down, but it's...
Down with a...
hopefully towards sunrise, though.
Well, I think that, you know, the eye is on the future, right? And I think that there's going to be at least one more year of this, right? Mm-hmm. Where we have some pretty bleak times,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Where we're trying to, you know, completely reshape this roster before we start seeing them. I know they've opened up a bunch of cap space. I don't think they're going to start using it like right. that. I mean, what you could see them start doing is start weaponizing their cap space for assets, right?
Mm-hmm.
We will take your trash at a full cap hit, but we want a hefty price, right?
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of teams in the NHL and the NBA, specifically the Oklahoma City Thunder, have acquired a lot of great first round picks for doing such things, right?
Yeah.
So we shall see.
Yeah, I guess we're going to see, dude. Well, here we are, dude. Dark days, but so long, Tomas Hertl. We're going to miss you.
Bye.
Go Sharks.
Show? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.